I have indeed, yeah. I was in a play at the Donmar Warehouse Theatre in London called Inadmissible Evidence, and it was amazing fun. It was so much fun.
Is that the first time you've been in a stage performance?
Yes. It really, really scared me. But I just, I totally fell in love with the play when I read it. And then, I don't know, it's something that I've wanted to do for so long, and it's something I wish to continue with. So it was so exciting for me.
How important is it to do that sort of thing? And I know you've got other projects coming up, to make sure that you're kind of not typecast in the Doctor Who character or the Doctor Who role that you play of Amy, you know, while you're actually still in Doctor Who.
Being typecast after Doctor Who isn't something that really worries me, actually. It's not really crossed my mind because I'm going to choose a variety of projects one way or another, you know. And I think it's good to step away from Doctor Who while I'm doing it and do other things, because then you get to come back to it with a fresh pair of eyes almost, and it's just there for the development of your character.
So is there much of a future for Amy on Doctor Who at the moment? That's what everybody wants to know.
I think there is, yes.
Okay, so you're definitely in the seventh season and maybe beyond, because of course we know 2013 is the 50th anniversary.
It is, which is an amazing milestone for the show. There's no confirmed plans or anything for that, to celebrate that, but I'm definitely coming back next year.
Okay, I'm very excited to hear that, because you weren't much of a fan of the show before you joined it. Have you become a fan? Have you gone back and looked at a lot of the old episodes?
I'm a huge fan of it. I know, a lot of facts about it now.
And, really? Hit me with some of those facts. I want to know some of the facts.
Oh, my God. Oh, no! You have to ask me questions. I can't just pluck them out.
Okay. Who's your favourite companion, then?
Billy Piper. Rose. Yeah.
That's fairly recent, though. Everyone loves Billy Piper. What about before that?
Sarah Jane, it would have to be.
That's everyone's second favourite. But these days, you'd be the favourite companion, wouldn't you? You've really nailed this character. Everybody loves Amy. Everyone loves Karen, though, don't they? Why do you reckon she has struck a chord with so many fans of the programme?
Oh, well, that's very nice of you to say. I don't know. It's really difficult to look at objectively. I have no idea. I think that the character is really well written by Stephen Moffat, and I think she's a good mixture of kind of heart, but also she's kind of funny how, I don't know, mean she can be at the same time.
But people must be telling you why they like her. I know Doctor Who fans tend to be a little bit obsessed, but what have you learnt from the perhaps not so mad fans about why they like you so much?
I don't know. I think a few of them have said that. I think with Amy and Rory, actually, they really connect with that as a unit, almost. And I don't know, it's because they're normal people, like ordinary people being put in quite an extraordinary situation. So I guess people connect with that in a way.
Yeah. Okay, you have the most beautiful Scottish accent. You probably don't think you have an accent, but I guarantee that you do. And it is absolutely gorgeous.
And thanks.
Well, can I ask you, though, this is very unusual in a way for a companion or indeed a Doctor Who to have an accent. How difficult was it to convince the producers to keep your accent, or in fact did they not mind, given that one of the previous Doctors wasn't allowed to use his Scottish accent?
Ah, yes, David Tennant. I think it's because the previous Doctor, Christopher Eccleston, had a northern accent and they didn't want it to become like a sort of tour of the regions of Britain, I guess. But with me, I auditioned in my own accent and an English accent, and then it was only after I was cast that the producers decided to go with my own one. So actually, I wasn't really involved in that decision at all, but I'm glad that they went with my own one, because it's just kind of a bit more, I've got a bit more freedom then.
Okay. Do you consider that Doctor Who, when you were going for the role, would be a bit of an acting challenge, playing in Doctor Who?
Yes, completely. I mean, I'd never done a leading role like that in anything before, so that was scary. I knew I was going to be working along a very talented young man named Matt Smith, who I first saw play the Doctor in my audition and suddenly went, whoa, this is going to be really good. So I knew that it was definitely going to be a challenge. And also, just because there's so many extremities that you have to play in Doctor Who, it's so high octane all the time, so you have to find different ways to approach kind of extreme situations.
Do you think it was easier, the fact that you and Matt began the show at the same time, that you weren't coming in and playing alongside someone who'd already, you know, had a companion?
Yes, completely. I'm so glad that we started at the same time, just because we've gone through an amazing experience together, and it would have been so different had he already been on the show for a few years and I came and joined him. So we will always share that, which is lovely.
It looks like it's unbelievable fun. Now, that's partly because I suppose Matt has that kind of twinkle in his eye and the smile always on his lips, but tell me how much fun it is to star in Doctor Who and to basically get to do whatever you like.
I can genuinely say, and we're not told to say this in any way, but it is the most fun. It really is. I guess you can, it's what you make it, you know, because it's really hard work. It's grueling, and we work in the most insane conditions all through winter in Wales. It's kind of awful sometimes. But then the fun side of it is that we get to run around and be in this amazing show and do it with people that we have so much fun with.
And go out into the desert and all that sort of thing.
Yeah, exactly.
What about, though, when you read the script and you think, oh, come on, they don't want me to do that? I mean, in the first episode, when you were dressed in that sexy police officer's uniform, do you reckon they snuck that in early so that you didn't complain?
No, they didn't, actually, because that was never referenced in the script. That was kind of my idea with the costume designer. He tried to put me in trousers, and I was like, no, let's go with the skirt thing. I just thought it would be kind of a stronger image, and it was quite funny if she's trying to deal with this situation of having to run away from aliens in really inappropriate attire.
With the first episode of a new series of a new Doctor Who, people are generally concentrating on the Doctor. All of a sudden, everybody's looking at you.
I didn't see that coming with the whole outfit thing, and that certainly wasn't the plan with it. I just thought it would be funny, if anything. So, yeah, that was a bit of a weird one, actually.
Got my attention, I can tell you that. And then the next episode, you're in your dressing gown as well, covered in slime in a whole lot of scenes as well. I mean, do you say, hang on a minute, when's she going to get out of this dressing gown?
I didn't really see that as a thing at all, actually, because, you know, that wasn't actually a very revealing outfit at all. I mean, I had a massive thing on, so it was kind of all right.
Okay. A lot of actors like to have a backstory for their character when they're, you know, they're playing that character in a movie or a TV show or a stage play. But actually, we meet you as a young girl in that first episode. Yeah. So how helpful was that in being able, and I know it was your cousin, I think, who played that little girl, play you as a little girl. What did that do to your character? How did that make it a bit easier to know who Amy was?
Well, it's amazing because I think it helps the audience invest in the character in a way like no other companion, actually, because we get to see this real vulnerable side of her so early on, and then we understand that she's kind of quite defensive and feisty because she's covering up the little girl that she still is, if you know what I mean. And we kind of get that as an audience straight away, so there's kind of that sympathy there, which I rather like. And for me, it's just good to know what actually happened. and it's just, it's something great to play with.
But we not only learn about your past, we learn about your future as well. Are you interested in how your character is going to get to the point where, you know, you've got a child as well?
Yeah, that's not the most conventional way that she gets there. but that's what I love about it so much. It's that we're sort of getting the full picture. Yeah. You know, we see her as a little girl, and then we see her finally get her greatest wish in life to go traveling with a doctor, and then we see her get married, and then eventually have a kid, which is cool because, you know, we're not just getting a snippet.
Can anybody truly be prepared for how big Doctor Who is as a cultural phenomenon, not only in the UK but in Australia as well, and now in the US? I mean, what did they warn you about how your life was going to change?
They kind of take us into a little room and say things are not ever going to be the same again. But those are kind of just words at the time, and it's kind of difficult to comprehend. And then we're shut away for 9 months of the year, so you don't see any of that. And then all of a sudden it was like, whoosh, and we came out, and it was just the craziest experience. And we found ourselves in America, and people were like, "Hey, man, I love the show." We were like, "What is going on?" It's so weird. I would love to come over to Australia, though. That would be fun.
We'd love to have you. In fact, I've got a spare room at my place if you want to stay with me. But, but Doctor Who hasn't come to Australia either, I don't think. Now, Doctor Who has been huge in this country for 50 years, or since it began in 1963. Why hasn't the Doctor visited Australia?
I don't know. He has to visit Australia.
Of course he does.
It has to be done. Okay, I'm gonna make it happen somehow.
Really?
Okay. Yeah.
I'd be very excited about it if you could. Look, the fans want to know these things as well. What's your favourite episode?
It remains to be The 11th Hour.
Oh, yeah. Why is that?
I just think that it's so magical. It's spellbinding. And I like my little cousin's performance in it with Matt. And I just think there's something magical about that episode, and the music's so beautiful.
I want to go back to how things have changed. And you go to America, you do a great accent too, by the way. You're at Comic-Con, and you know, people are throwing questions at you, the most incredibly intricate detail about the program as well. But what are some of the really strange things that happen? Tell me about the fan mail that you get as well.
A few strange things have happened. Generally, everyone's been really nice and positive, so that's been good. No one's throwing old fruit at me or anything. But I do get a lot of comical fan mail.
For example?
Like, there's this one guy who sends a postcard from every place that he goes to. And then the latest I heard, he was in my hometown.
Yeah, I would be really worried if the postcard arrived from, you know, next door to where you live.
But he's honestly nothing but nice. It's really pleasant, and he just wanted to see it. So I find it really nice.
Okay. You like to sing as well. You've got a really lovely voice. Are we going to hear that on the show? Why hasn't Amy sung on Doctor Who?
Oh, I don't think Amy's much of a singer.
But you are.
I don't know what
you could make Amy a singer, surely.
Really? Well, thank you. I don't know. Maybe one day. You never know. I'm not going to rule it out.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay.
I just can't imagine her doing karaoke.
You don't think that at some stage, you know, you're going to time travel to somewhere where it might be required for Amy to sing?
That's a good idea. Yeah. Maybe we could go back to, I could be in the Rat Pack or something. Do you think I'd fit right in?
I think you would. You'd be on stage with, Frank Sinatra, Dean Martin, that sort of thing. Is that your dream?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Really? Because the thing about Doctor Who is, you know, the scope. You can do whatever you like. Unlike any other show on TV, you could put your characters in any time or place in history.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the beauty of it all. There's no boundaries.
So, okay, we're looking forward to Vegas. Do you think that there will be a few more episodes set in the United States, given now that Doctor Who is so popular there?
Maybe. I actually have no idea what's going to be happening.
Okay.
I've not read a single word of what I'm going to be doing, but I hope so. I like the States.
You know, people are obsessive about Doctor Who as well. What are you obsessive about?
I like music. Funny that you should say Vegas. I've just come back from Vegas seeing a Rat Pack tribute act.
Oh, okay.
And so I love traveling so much. And I like old vintage looking things and ornaments and trinkets. I'm going to turn into one of those weird junk lady people.
And do you like going around to stores and collecting them, buying them, and looking and seeing what they've got?
So all the kind of second-hand shops that have got loads of little random ornaments and things, I just pick up.
What about your relationship with Matt Smith as well? You know, do you give him something nice on his birthday? Has he given you something as well?
Yeah, well, actually, I went to Vegas for my birthday, and then we had a little holiday, which was really fun. And, we're really, really good friends. We are. Because we've gone through such an amazing experience together, kind of life-changing, and to experience that with another person kind of gives you a bond, I guess.
Because your birthday was just, last week or the week before, wasn't it?
Yeah, 24.
24. God, getting old.
I know. When did that happen? I was 21 when I started this show.
You know, like it or not, you're part of Doctor Who. You will be part of it forever. You know, you could be 70 or 80. You'll still be going to these fan conventions talking about your time on Doctor Who, won't you?
Yeah, I hope so. It's not something that I would ever want to disassociate myself with, because you get to be part of sci-fi history. How cool is that? And it's a show that I really care about, and it's a really big part of my life, and I will look back on it so fondly, because it's just been the most incredible experience for me. So I'm just so grateful that I even have that at all.
Tell me, what does Christmas hold for Karen Gillan?
It will be like this. I will wake up on Christmas morning and run downstairs in a traditional way for me, because I'm an only child, and just like tear up my presents ferociously. And then maybe just spend it with my family, and we're going to watch the Doctor Who Christmas special.
It's unbelievable, isn't it, how that's developed, that that is now the most anticipated program on British TV every year, isn't it?
It's crazy. How cool is that, though? It's such an important part of Christmas. That's amazing.
It used to be the Queen's Christmas message. Now it's what Doctor Who is telling us.
Yeah, that's really funny.
Thanks, Karen. I'm a fun guy. Hey, look, seriously, so you know what happens in this episode. Have you told your parents?
No, I have not. I've got a cameo appearance in this episode.
Yeah.
I've told them that. But other than that, I haven't told them anything. But it's so cool. I get to watch it as a viewer now.
So you don't really know what happens in the rest of it?
No, I know what happens.
Right, okay.
But I haven't seen any of it, and I wasn't involved in most of it. So it's kind of cool.
And then what? What is the year? You say you work for about 7 months of the year in Wales, working on Doctor Who. But what is, say, the next year for Karen? When we talk again next Christmas, when you're out in Australia, you know, what would you have done over the next year?
Oh, my goodness. Worked a little more on Doctor Who,
mm-hmm.
and maybe have done another little thing that perhaps might be in the pipeline, and maybe have done a bit more travelling.
I did read about you playing Jean Shrimpton in a TV movie,
yes,
as well. Tell me how that came about, and what is it about Jean Shrimpton that attracts you?
I think she's such an interesting person, and it was so cool to just get to research someone that actually existed and that is still alive as well. There was that pressure on it as well, to kind of do her justice, because I know she's probably going to see it, and she has actually seen it, and she's given it the thumbs up, thank goodness. But that just came about because I was sent the script for it. I really liked it. It was something I was already interested in, because I like photography, and it was about David Bailey, so that interested me. I just thought it would be the right thing to do for my first thing after Doctor Who, because the character is such a departure from Amy Pond. And it's good, it's good.
And it's set in only a short period of Jean Shrimpton's life?
Yeah, it's set in the early 60s, and it's basically set over one photo shoot that they did for Vogue with David Bailey in New York.
You know, she wore the most famous dress in the history of the Melbourne Cup.
That was a massive controversy, wasn't it?
So when they do the sequel, you'll have to come down here to make that.
Perfect, done.
Karen, I know you're incredibly busy. I know you've got Christmas presents to buy and wrap and everything. You're such a delight
thank
to
you.
Talk to, and thank you so much.
Thanks, nice to talk to you.